We are not heroes, nor are we villains, neither kings nor magicians, but we can tell you their stories. We are the Lore Keepers, and we welcome you to Halloween.
Welcome to Halloween. This is Lore Keepers, the Boundless Venture, the world-renowned podcasting opus, wherein the richest tapestry of lore in human history is sung into being before your very ear holes. I'm Carter.
And I'm Frank.
Whether you melt through ruined volcanoes, burn steel to usurp the Carrion Throne, or crit on your Grey Warden to kickflip, sit a while by our fire. Ho ho ho, weary wanderer. Let us weave you a tale. This half.
All right, I have a prestige challenge for you. You have to keep your tone exactly that for the rest of the episode. No affect whatsoever. I'll overcompensate for both of us.
I don't think anyone wants to listen to that, Frank.
I agree.
I saved the funny voices for the intros to keep it interesting.
Ah, I see. Yeah.
But this half Fortnite, Frank, we're talking about wandering peoples, flotillas, turtle islands, possibly island turtles.
What?
Yep.
Okay.
So we're just jumping in?
Yeah, I mean, kind of, I think, as usual, our new format, you know, if you want to listen to our preamble, you know, you can check that out at the end of the episode. Nobody really wants to have that at the beginning, though. To be clear, I haven't seen any mail or anything from anybody complaining. I listen to it. I'm like, this really doesn't need to be here. We can just get into the meat of the episode. Yeah, so I kind of just threw this out there. But we, in recent weeks, we talked about the honor list. And we keep a running list of just ideas of things that we maybe want to check out. And one of them was Turtle Islands from forever ago, which for the unknowledgeable or like, what the hell are you talking about? I'm just thinking about like, I'm thinking about the idea of like, you have like a dragon turtle, or maybe not always a dragon turtle, because I feel like dragon turtles are like, they're big, but they're like maybe 100 or 200 feet across. We're talking about like ancient mythic dragon turtle, like primordial creatures that are island sized, you know, sea serpents or whatever, that
Kraken
like
turtles.
Have islands on their back. Yeah, Kraken. Kurgles. Wow, fuck you, man. You really rubbed off on me.
Yep.
It's true that you really are the average of the five people that are the closest to you.
A break after that realization.
Oh, yeah, you need some time? maybe we give the listeners... Go ahead and pause here if you need to.
Here you go.
All right, well, it's been a couple of weeks. I know you did some serious soul searching, and when you finally, you know, came back to this episode, we are here for you. We support you.
With our Kurgles.
Yeah, if you remember from a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Kurgles, which are Kraken dragon turtles. Wait, so would that be Kradurtles?
Kradurtles, yeah.
Kradurtles, okay, so yeah. Anyways, yeah, giant islands or other beasties that, you know, maybe have people moving across them. Or, yeah, like the honorless people that I, you know, I've been listening to the Wheel of Time series, the anthology, just going through the whole thing. And there's the Atha and Mir within that world, which are, I think maybe I'm using the wrong people's name. Maybe that's just an object. It might not even be a people's. What do I know?
The Sea Folk.
Yeah, the sea folk. Yeah, they're basically, I mean, the lore behind them is after the breaking of the world in the Wheel of Time, which is this cataclysmic event kind of at the beginning of the age, several thousand years ago, the land was in such upheaval, like literally geologically, mountains were laid bare and, you know, and the ground like heaved up, you know, flat plains became new mountains and craggy outcroppings and things. That like they were like, well, we have to sail. We have to set, you know, when the sea, the sea was more calm than the land. And then they just never came back and, you know, became like sort of traders and stuff. And it's not like they don't get off on islands to trade and stuff, but it's usually only a few delegates and they're, it's not as comfortable to them. Which I'm sure there's some real world precedents that are similar to that, but I always liked that idea of people who are more comfortable on a ship than they are at sea. And I think that I don't think that they have shipwrights either. I think that they have relationships with people who craft the ships for them. And so there's sort of a back and forth there, but because otherwise, how do you build your ships? Because
how the fuck do you repair a ship? You know.
Well, yeah, they have like bosuns and stuff who are on the ship itself, but I mean, like building a new ship is kind of hard to do
when you're
on a ship.
Maybe they just have a really big ship that like poops out little baby ships and they get bigger.
I mean, maybe, dude. I don't know. I only ever got to like I think the first half of book 11, and by that time, I had everything from book 8 on, I was like, stuff happened. I don't know. I don't remember any of it. Something about towers and I remember a couple of the events, but I have no idea how they were strung together.
You can't read the Wheel of Time and remember everything. It's not how it works.
Well, not if you're doing it over the course of 10 years. And I'm pretty sure I started it in sophomore year of college and then like didn't. I don't know. I did this really dumb thing around the time that I graduated from college, which was I had so many books that I wanted to read, and I didn't want to take forever to get to the next one. And so I would read 100 or 200 pages of one book and then move on to the next and just go in a cycle. And I had like 14 books I was reading at once this way. Doesn't work real well, man. Does not work well. Especially when one of those books is like Finnegan's Wake. Yeah, I was trying to read Finnegan's Wake. Wow. I don't know if you've ever tried that. Yeah, it's dumb. It's pointless too. It's an exercise in futility.
Were you also like testing out your resilience by like every day when you wake up, you crack a raw egg into a glass, shot of whiskey, and then like two shots of espresso, and then just chugging that down,
and then reading your 100 pages. I mean, it's yeah, it was ridiculous. We're getting off track here though. I'm getting off track as per usual.
Yeah.
I'm just scared of what we're gonna discover, you know. I'm afraid. So yeah, we got our Crudurdles. We've got the honor list, who are, you know, mentioned a couple maybe last episode, but at least a couple of episodes ago. I think they are people who have been, specifically elves, who have been stripped of their honor and kicked out, either for crimes they did commit or crimes that they were imagined to have commit.
Or because they may or
specifically,
may not be vampires.
Yeah, specifically as it relates typically to sanguine magic. It's like excommunicado, you know, it's like the kind of shit that gets you kicked out of the society.
Catholic Church.
Yeah. Surprisingly, you wouldn't know it, but them blood drinkers, you know, who are always drinking the blood of Jesus on Sundays, are not too big of a fan of people who are doing that on their own terms. Yeah, but no, I never made that connection before. There's something that's deep. There's something there. Oh, maybe Jesus was a vampire. No, he told everyone else to be, though.
Yeah, he's just like, look. Just cannibalize me.
Be like a god vampire, though, specifically drinking the blood of God.
Yeah. Tasty.
Yeah, I don't know. There's some weird doctrine around that.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say it's weird.
It's transmorphification or transmogrification.
Transubstantiation.
Transubstantiation,
yeah.
That's the one.
Transmogrification.
Yeah, that's a wow.
Transmogs.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
I put my transmog on my wine. It's now the blood of God. There you go.
Okay. So yeah, where do we start with this though? So I mean, basically, I was just imagining, hey, we've got visitors, and then they sometimes show up in the port. Maybe sometimes they show up as like a small island off of the mainland that you can see, and they do trade or something.
I'm gonna shotgun here, Frank. You ready?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of this type of episode.
When trying to give out value lessons, they just like start shouting things that might seem like lessons and hope.
Wait, really?
In their papers, yeah. You know,
I was gonna say that does sound like if anywhere it's gonna happen, it'd be during philosophy class.
It's like maybe this is a lesson. It's like, no, try again.
This sounds pithy here.
So basically, this is what I'm thinking. I think we have a similar and analog to the breaking of the world, where we have the oceans returning and it raining for like 200 years or whatever it is.
And oh, you're talking about the whelming?
I'm talking about the whelming. And so I think, you know, people got on boats during that time, and some people never left. People kept on boating.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like we have a lot of, okay, the whelming is a great reference point for this, yeah, because that, I think, determines a lot of the behavior that we see in the later Avum in the Marian Ocean, because, you know, and we kind of talked about this on our episode with, was it Sepulis? I think it was Sepulis.
It might have been Sepulis.
Yeah, Cephea, who becomes Sepulis, the ascended goddess of ambition, is that she and her people were, you know, this was a time of turmoil. Everything was being washed away constantly. I mean, I think there's some incredible myth making that we could do there. One day, maybe we just focus on, you know, I don't know, other aspects of that. But one of the things we talked about is that people are constantly having to ascend and find higher ground, and not all higher ground eventually will be above sea level. You know, when you, and so there's like no guarantee that the places that you're ascending to, and, you know, just as a quick reiteration, we talked about, like, you know, potentially you have roving clans or tribes that are being forced to either break up by choice or by, you know, by rift or something. But they, or just because they get cut off from each other because of the waters. But like, yeah, I'm sure people like learned how to swim a little bit during this time, but the water was always away from things that they were trying to get to. You know, it was always in the opposite direction. And I think that the amount of churning that was going on in the earth, in the ground at that point, meant that it wasn't, I don't think it was drinkable without doing some filtration and stuff. It would be really muddy, gross water. Because it's kind of just nonstop raining and pulling up all of the dust and all of the dirt of millennia of Avum Secunda into itself. But anyways, yeah. So people are like separating and they're trying to get higher up, and sometimes they just run out of places to go. Question: What does the flora look like at this point? Because obviously trees are typically made of wood. We could have some different stuff going on. Maybe there's like some sort of weird stone you can carve into something, but stone's brittle, you know, and I don't think it would make for a very good building material. You need something with flex. But at the same time, like, are there forests in Avum Secunda? Given time, I think that there would be, especially if you have that much rainfall. You might have some, like, there might be like flash jungles that get created. Flash because, like, it's over the course of 100 or 200 years and nobody was here before, and now that they've ascended up to these points, you have like all this stuff growing off the side of a cliff that wasn't there.
Yeah, I think we do get a pretty big uptick in vegetable growth, if you follow me. And flora. And I think that there were forests, but they were like, you know, kind of as you imagine a forest in winter, except it was just always like that. So it's just like barely hanging on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because there was, Like, we talk about the Veldt, which if you need a refresher, we'll definitely put a drop in the podcast description for all of our different Veldt episodes, which was one of the last like remnant places where there actually was common greenery in the world at the time. I think we might need to kind of unify the magical with the mundane here in terms of
plants how this don't have souls.
Play out. Well, no, I mean, yes, you are. I think as far as I think the establishing the ground of Helame, yes, I would agree with you. Plants don't have souls. I also don't think plants have souls in our world, but that's more how subjective. But what I'm trying to get at is, I think, like, we've talked about the time scale of the whelming. You know, like, is it 200 years? Is it 500 years? Is it 800 years? I don't think it's more than that. I think if anything, it might be closer to 200 or maybe even 50 than certainly not 800 in my mind, but maybe like 350. That's a long time generationally. That is a very short time for elves and also for sort of the more aeonic things, you know, continental drift is not really happening. In that time period, it's
like 200 generations of Arakocra.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's funny because for some people, yeah, that's an ancient amount of time. Definitely Dragonborn is an example of like a people who are fully grown at age 3. And even, yeah, they live until they're like 70 or whatever, but I don't know how many Dragonborn are actually living to 70 during the whelming. And so they might have 100 generations during the whelming, whereas the elves might have 2 or 3. So, but where I'm going with this, though, is just that I don't think that's enough time for anything that wasn't already happening in the world. Like, there aren't going to be plants that evolve to accommodate and adjust to specifically the current circumstances, because that's not going to last long enough, unless there is something that, what there could be is something that was already around that could take all of that water and do something with it, like was very efficient with its water growth, you know, sort of a bamboo or something, and could explode and become like weed-like and take over everything. Especially because, like, as the water level continue to rise, like, any ground that is newly sprouted, you know, that's near the shore is just going to get overtaken anyways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe we have a kind of a weedy tree that grows relatively quickly. I don't know. I guess I'm just trying to imagine, like, when people get to the point where they are surrounded and the water continues to rise, and they have figured out that you can create basically like rafts out of or that wood floats. You know, they're like, well, we'll put our people on a rafts and then we will try and survive that way.
Maybe it's a kind of like a vine, like you're saying, that you like cut into strips, you dry the strips. Actually, it'd be really fucking hard to dry them. Because it's always raining.
Right. I mean,
but if I need wood.
Yeah, I mean, you can create, like, you know, there's caves and alcoves and things. I mean, they're definitely people who are familiar with caves and alcoves. Caverns, because that's, you know, that's where you found relief from the sun during Secunda. So it's, like, built into their cultures for generations. I'm sure that wouldn't be too much of an issue for them to find if they needed to. They need to get dry too, you know, otherwise you're always wet to the bone and exhausted. You're spending a lot of energy trying to accommodate for that.
Yeah, basically they learn how to weave like hemp, except mm-hmm. It's like super hemp. So it floats and you can, it's pretty sturdy.
It's like thick wicker. Yeah.
Wicker. Yeah, it's wicker.
Wicker. Wicker. Is that how you say wicker?
No, it's not.
Okay. You just, it's just a Carterism.
Yeah,
cool.
It's just wicca. It's a wicca chair.
What was that?
Wicca chair.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. I was going to say, I think, all right, I'm just going to throw this out there. I think that there is something that is magical that is going on specifically with the Veldt that occurs during the whelming, mostly because it's kind of like, how could it not? Like, everything that we've talked about with the Veldt at this, up until this point, has made me think sort of that there is an event that it's, there's almost like a prophetic thing going on where there's something that the halfling people have been waiting for, or at least sort of maybe the seers among them, the, you know, the druids, the proper druids among them have been waiting for to occur. And the fact that it hasn't up until this point, you know, like, I don't know, we talked about the Shorn, the idea of like the sort of the comatose gods and stuff. I think there's probably just something that occurs that allows for a magical boom of plant growth to occur around the time of the whelming.
I have an idea, Frank.
Yeah, go for it.
What if the whelming is the signal for the halfling druids to spread across the world the seeds of the Veldt?
Totally. I mean, yeah, that sounds like a great place to start. I think we'd probably give it its own episode at some point, but like that, I think, perfectly captures what we're talking about here. Is like, yeah, they were waiting for sort of a promised, you know, maybe there's prophecies of that talk about like, you know, the rains without end or something like that. And when it finally comes, it's like a pretty clear signal, like it is time for our life as we knew it to end. You know, we walk through the sort of the wooded ways, the I think we've called it the deep green before, the sort of the root network of spans that connect all forests to all other forests, and you know, spread the amount of the spread the seed
spread
of the Veldt.
Seed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think this is guided by the druids, and maybe the halflings get a nickname in this age, which is like the renewers,
the green folk or something. I mean, because like there would absolutely be legends of these people appearing or randomly disappearing like all over the world. Is a lot of people haven't seen foliage at all, you know, maybe almost their entire lives, or like they occasionally see these very, very stripped strands that you're talking about, kind of these broken wintry trees that do hang around, but are very, you know, emaciated and stuff. and then there's this new color that they haven't seen before, that so many people hadn't ever seen before, green. And they maybe didn't even have a word for it. That would be fun to do, is to see that like green has a different name in almost every other culture, because like they each had to come up with a way to describe it, and like because again, like it didn't exist. And then you have oftentimes the halfling peoples are associated with a like people of the green or whatever. I can see there being like a lot of different cultures that also have a deep sense of honor for these mystical people, and like don't believe that they're real for a long time, or they're just a myth. They're something that is equally as magical as like fairies, because of the fact that they're only showing up with this green that is a promise of new life.
And then they slide down the rainbow and show you their pot of gold.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're basically like leprechauns in a way, which is very fun to me. Especially because they also are just like hobbiton, you know, they're, you know, they're also settling down and having like this. Did we decide? I can't remember. Is the Veldt buried underwater? Is it submerged?
I don't think so.
Does it still exist?
Yeah, I think it's still like the halfling homeland where no one's allowed.
You might be right. We'll have to come back to that.
I think the Veldt is hobbiton. Except, like, imagine if when you try to get into Hobbiton, and people were like, what? We're going to fucking shoot you.
Right. Yeah. They were extremely territorial. Decided not to make them cannibals, but that was definitely pulling from Dark Sun vibes of like the halflings in Dark Sun are cannibals, which is like, okay.
Why cool. Not?
That's. And also. Probably racist on some level. Like, I don't know.
The bringing the Oompa Loompas again?
I mean, if you're curious as to what that's about, check out the podcast preamble. All right, so let's fast forward here, though. I mean, I actually do like this as a base. I think it makes sense to kind of talk about where these wandering people came from. It's a good origin story. I don't know, maybe there's also druidic. You know, I could see some. I don't know if this is a major tribe, or it's not something I would see naturally occurring, but it's the kind of random event I could see snowballing into its own thing, which is, what if you have druids who either live on rafts or are, you know, maybe they just all have swim speeds or something, but they live on top of the water. And it was a result of some of these like green folk, i.e. the halflings, getting cut off from their forests for whatever reason, maybe due to a calamitous storm or something, where like they were in it and then they got out of it because they had to. You know, you could create some sort of mythic story about like somebody who had sympathy for plighted people and was like, if we just sneak down to them, even though they weren't supposed to do this, you know, they're like, no, we can't ever show our faces or whatever. The people would fear us or kill us or something. You know, that's not our place. But this, you know, druid had, you know, sympathy for these people and went down sort of in the middle of the night to like offer them aid. And then maybe the span closed up, or they couldn't find a way back or something like that. And they started to teach these people the druidic ways to help them survive this storm, you know, how to be like the animals that like swim in the sea or whatever. Anyways, I mean, that's like just another like myth making we could do. But whatever the case, these people are, you know, they start with rafts, probably start to, you know, make it more articulate. I mean, I think it could be. There's that Minecrafty survival game called, I think it's just called The Raft. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we just build a giant raft.
I've never played it, but I've I like watched some Let's Plays of it, and it's a fun Let's Play. Yeah. I don't know. I always like that idea though, of like you just kind of have debris around you. Yeah, you just have debris around you, and you just slowly collect and just like grow a raft around you. We could kind of have something like that going on, where there's these huge floating raft towns of like several hundred people.
Yeah, like
that just
Lake
sort
Town.
Of follow the
Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit.
Lake Town?
Lake Town.
I don't know about that.
No, it's from The Hobbit.
Do I?
Lake Town. It's a town.
Is that the
lake.
One? Is that the one that we see at the beginning of The Desolation of Smaug? Smaug?
Yeah. Smaug.
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 Smaugwe. Yeah, is that literally just it's rafted?
Yeah.
Huh, cool. Is Venice also floating?
I think Venice is sinking.
Right. Well, yes, I think Venice is sinking. Is it supposed to be floating on top
though?
I don't
think so.
I think
it's
water?
Like,
is it stilts? Am I thinking I should know this as
I don't
an
think
architect,
it's
I should know this. I think it might be stilts, dude.
I think
I'm pretty sure
it's
just built because it's built into a lagoon. Like the water level is not that deep.
You're the architect. If you say it's stilts,
yeah, I don't know. Okay, we should jump forward a big distance here. Let's just jump into sort of anchor point esque Padasari. Padasari is like built up now. We've got, you know, a fair amount of activity that they see on a day-to-day basis. This, I think, you know, we can talk about this as being like post Night of the Burning Shore, post occupation of Iulia. These are just sort of the days of Thog, or, you know, sort of it's sunny afternoon. The sunny afternoon of its era.
Oh, passing by glory days. No?
What was that?
Bruce?
Was that singing?
Yeah. Well, as much as Bruce Springsteen sings.
It sounded like you had like an upset tummy that was being articulated in like pre-glottal, like proto-language.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen. That's what you're describing.
Okay. Bruce Springsteen is the Homo erectus of music.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. So like, yeah, who would be visiting? Obviously, you've got maybe these floating raft towns. You've got people who are sailing around. I guess we didn't really touch on the Drakendurtles or whatever.
Yeah, I think they're
Cradriddles.
I think there's like a symbiotic relationship. Maybe they're Dragonborn. Maybe it's just like cat people.
I mean, I think maybe that's what the druids are doing. If there's druidic presence, it's literally like they have this, yeah, like you said, symbiotic relationship. They do a lot of the trade that they do is like, I think I just heard the cat knock over a glass.
I didn't hear a shatter. I just heard a...
Hold on.
All right.
Hey, Rachel, you okay? Hang on one second.
Hello, passerby.
Is everything okay?
What's happening?
Just the little shit being a little shit. He's the biggest little shit, man. God, intolerable sometimes. Apparently he knocked a water glass over while Rachel is trying to focus. Because, you know, she's trying to get work done. And I don't know. Apparently this is like a daily endeavor. It's just the fact that it's when it's around 11 o'clock, he's like, oh, it's time for lunch, even though lunch doesn't happen until noon. And he's just meowing at her constantly and she can still hear him through her headphones. Anyways, it's just like he's being a little shit. Knocked a water glass over with his foot and onto Rachel.
Ooh.
Yeah. He's an asshole. We were talking about Wandering Islands, though. I don't know exactly how that would work, but I would imagine that what they would be trading for would maybe be serving the creature that they were on the back of. Like they would trade for goods that either would help take care of it. Maybe, probably not food, because I can't imagine that they would ever have enough food to feed that thing. It probably eats on its own. And also if it didn't eat on its own, it's fucked. Like that's not a great situation.
What if one good berry solves it?
That would be hilarious. But you can cast that spell on your own if you're a druid. You don't need reagents or anything for that. I think it's more likely that it's like treats for the creature. Like it likes certain things. And so it's sort of about keeping a good relationship with it, like taking care of it in the way that it's taking care of you. Like you buy a whole pig, you know? Or maybe a bat. Maybe it's really into bats.
Maybe they like collect its feces and the feces is useful some way. I don't know.
What does turtle shit look like?
I don't know. Never shat on a turtle.
Do they just sort of like, do they just like poop a cloud out into the ocean?
Poop a cloud. I don't know.
Because tortoise shit is just like little pellets, I think.
Oh, like rabbits?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know. I used to work at a place where we had tortoises. And I'm trying to remember cleaning up after them. I think it was like pellets. Yeah, it was just like little chunks.
Chunks.
They have small. They had small anuses. They had like it was just sort of underneath their tail somewhere, and you could just kind of watch it go out.
I see.
It's kind of goofy.
I've never watched a tortoise shit before, so I'm just
oh man, if you haven't watched a tortoise shit, let me tell you, you haven't lived. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, like what do we do with this idea? I feel like this is like, okay, it's kind of fun, adds a little bit of flavor, but like beyond the surface level of just like, hey, you have occasional visitors, what does this add to Potisati? It changes who's trading with you and the occasional people who you see off the shore. I mean, I think the presence of the honorless, I'd be very curious to see.
I think they're pirates. They're almost always pirates. I think that there's some of them aren't, and this gives them like a bad name. Think like Romani.
I think.
Where like
you cut off there. What did you say? You think something?
Think like Romani, where they have this reputation as like scoundrels.
Yeah. Well, and I think here's the thing. I think that it's more like Romani than it is like pirates, because I think that there are some honor lists that are definitely like pirates, or in this situation, buccaneers, because pirates pillage ships and buccaneers pillage the land.
Oh, wow. Technical terms.
Yeah, that's the difference between the two. I mean, a person can be a pirate and a buccaneer. It's just that the action of doing buccaneering is when you're specifically like raiding
it's like the difference between
town or someone that's on land
burglarizing.
Yeah,
You don't. What? I think you rob a person, not.
And you burglar an object?
You like burglar a house.
Okay, sure. Because I was like, and then there's mugging, but mugging involves violence.
I think it does.
Yeah. So technically, like, you could be robbing somebody while you mug them, but mugging is specifically like when you are harming them to get their object, their stuff. I think you're right, though, that you burglar a location.
Yeah.
But you rob a person. Anyways, yeah. And, so, I mean,
it's burglarized, by the way.
Okay.
Oh, no. So burglarizing is to enter a building illegally with the intent to commit a crime, especially theft.
Oh, okay. So, like, you could also be, like, trying to, for instance, I don't know, I'm arson? Thinking of, like, Mr. Robot. I was going to say, Mr. Robot, you go and you hack to like, place information.
Ooh.
Technically, you're not, like, acquiring anything, but you're still a burglar.
Or, yeah, you're entering a home to do illegal, like,
to place a bug or something, yeah.
You're a burglar.
Okay.
There you go. There we learned something today, and you, Liz,
great.
Learned about,
yeah,
burglarizing.
As far as this relates to the honor list, I think that the relationship to me looks more like Romani. I think some of them are outright pirates, and that creates a fear. I mean, I think that Padasati maybe has a, as a rule, they say, we do not deal with the honor list. Like, we won't trade with them or something. Officially, I think that there are some unofficial deals of people who will occasionally trade with them. They just, it's something that they have to do at night and probably not, like, off of the center harbor. You know, like, it's not something that's happening in the Harbor Master. Like, that ship might not even be known by the public to be there. They would be, you know, sort of stationed off. You probably have some sort of Coast Guard, I would imagine, that, like, sort of trails and does like, unending,
vigil.
Yeah, patrol. Vigils across, yeah, patrols, thank patrol. You. Patrols across the island. But, like, I can imagine some, like, lesser-known coves that, you know, the Honor List might be able to hide in. Or other pirates. They're not the
Maybe
only ones, but, like...
the Honor List, but, like, are smugglers. There you go.
Ooh, I like that idea.
Because, you know...
I mean, again, they're not a monolith. Yeah. There's pirates, there's smugglers, there's probably even, like, carnival-like people who pretend they're not the Honor List. You know, they maybe even disguise themselves as... You know, they're casting, like, disguised self on themselves when they enter into town. And they're putting on, like, carnival shows for people. But I do like the idea that they are, yes, it's their one of the common things that you can get them for is for smuggling.
Yeah. And so that's why they're not, like, that's why there's this, like, blanket rule. Because it's basically Padasati being slightly, you know, prejudiced against these people and saying, hey,
sure,
they're all smugglers. We don't deal with smugglers.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not just smugglers, but also, like, pirates.
Yeah,
or, you know, hey... it's possible that you might have somebody who is able to deliver goods for you, but you might also get totally swindled during it. And, you know, there's, like, there's this suspicion of the people.
Yeah. And the idea is that, you know, it's a little bit, it's not exactly just them being prejudiced against elves, because the honor lists are singled out because they've been exiled.
Right.
So it's a prejudice against,
yes,
exiled elves. Basically.
Yeah, which is still a class thing, but,
oh,
like,
definitely
it's easily, I can see how it becomes, like, a veiled classist pseudo-racism kind of thing going on, where, yeah, I mean, that is the reason why they're doing that. But, yeah, so I think that there's still honor lists that are having these activities, but it's not like a full-on flotilla.
Thing. Yeah.
You're not seeing multiple honor list ships or whatever. You'll have, there are places where they know that they can clump together because people don't care as much, or maybe don't have a negative relationship to them because they might have a similarly negative relationship to the Marian Dominion. Like, there might be other peoples in the Marian Ocean where they actually sympathize with the honor list.
Do we have any whirlpools?
Ooh, I don't think we've talked about whirlpools at all. Well, what's the thought?
The thought is, I'm imagining, like, a big flotilla of, like, the sea people, whatever we call them, not the honor list, mm-hmm, but the sea people, who, like, just are in orbit around, like, a whirlpool.
Giant whirlpool. That's cool. I like that idea.
Yeah. And it's like really easy to tell the currents because it's just, like, constantly doing its own thing. And it's very predictable.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I really like that idea. Yeah, that's super cool. Also, definitely, it is such a massive whirlpool that there's a meeting space
at the bottom,
in the middle of it, at the bottom. Yeah, it's like such a powerful whirlpool that there's actually like, it works kind of like a column of water that, like, you know, it comes down towards itself and then eventually just bottoms out and goes vertical because the velocity is that high. The centripetal force keeps the water to the edges. This is like some sort of like crazy current nexus of like three different major currents in the ocean that work like straight line winds for travel. And oh, for sure, dude. There's like, this is the one grounded place that maybe has mythic. There's maybe a, you know, myth or, here of an elven homeland, or sort of maybe this was a cursed location, or it's seen as a cursed location by some people, by lots of people, because it's a scary whirlpool that has all the honorless around it and it's got vampires and stuff. And maybe the curse is that there was vampiric activity that happened here or something.
Well, I was
or
saying that maybe, that was maybe it isn't murdered. Instead, it's the sea people.
Oh,
as a separate thing. Or it could be.
What are you thinking that the. Do you mean just kind of like some of the people who aren't honorless?
Well, I mean, the people that.
But also just live on ships?
Yeah, the people that during the whelming got on ships, built a culture around ships, and never landed.
I see.
Maybe, okay. Maybe at this point.
Well, I guess I'm going to have to dump this really cool lore I just created out the window. Thanks, Carter.
I mean, I'm just trying to have some diversity here. It's not all honorless on the seas.
Yeah, no, you're right. We actually should figure out, though, the relationship between the sepal.
Yep, sepal.
And and the honorless, though. I'm fine with it if it's not honorless. I do like the idea that it's like this one exclusion where this is the one ground that is reachable, but it's something, or that they access, but it is only used for like a meeting of the tribes kind of thing, you know, like when we need to make an agreement or a choice as a people, like this is sacred ground.
Yeah. I think that
maybe literally sacred, you know, maybe this is like a, you know, there's a god that they follow, a forgotten god or something. It's like they follow the way and they have not strayed from it this whole time.
It is the way. So I think that
this is the way.
The sepal and the honorless are like pals. And the sepal see the honorless as kindred spirits who, you know, maybe didn't do this by choice, but, you know, or some of them didn't do this by choice, but now that they've, you know, made it their own. And so maybe the sepal act as, like, representatives or proxies for the honorless in a lot of their dealings, because you're like, okay, you know, because there's no laws against the sepal, but, but, you know, there's laws against the honorless, and so the sepal go in and help the honorless get their deals or whatever it is.
Maybe that's the nuance, actually. Maybe because the honorless are seen as straight-up criminals, like, they don't do any dealings with it, and they don't have this Romani relationship because they're straight-up outlaws. Like, and it still have the exceptions where people who have no love for the Marian Dominion, you know, would probably associate with them, because it's like, well, yeah, you're outlaws of those people, but like, we understand the situation of why. Also, maybe we don't care too much about vampirism. Like, we might actually be not okay with it, but like not okay, you know. Just don't do it to us and we'll be fine.
Like, you can live your best vampiric life.
Yeah, you dude, hey, you do you, chase your bliss, as long as your bliss isn't around my neck. I mean, I could see those relationships existing, but I think that this is, yes, there's a go-between where the sepal, we gotta come up with a better name.
It's the best name.
It works for now.
It
doesn't. It's not.
It will not change.
I know you won't. I mean, I think that, yeah, that they are kind of like a Romani though to people, where there are rumors or suspicion that, well, hey, they fraternize with, you know, criminals, you know, they're probably not unwelcome. They're allowed. Like, whereas if you want some smuggling to happen and you straight up do actually want to do business with the honorless, I think that's where those coves are for. I think it just might be that the sea people might get denied at the docks. You know, like they request, you know, hey, can we port here? And the harbor masters might be prejudiced towards them. They can choose to turn them down. They can, you know, hike the price of their, you know, renting the dock or however that works, you know, leasing it for the time way, way up. And so, you know, maybe it gets to a point where the sea people, they anchor, like, they're like, well, fine, like, we won't pay your price. You know, we will just dock out at sea, and, you know, they anchor down and then they just row out. This is kind of how you have those traveling carnivals or whatever. And sometimes the honorless are doing it. They're just, they have to be deceptive and, you know, use disguise self. There's, because all of them are like, well, we cannot look like elves, you know.
I think a big part of the honorless is they're branded in some way. So again, get back to our magical branding. Mm. I think it's because, you know, the elves love their magical branding with like slavery and stuff like that.
That's true. They would totally do that, wouldn't they? Oh, they absolutely would, because branding was still 100% a part of their culture. Yep. Ugh, God, I forgot about that. Fuck, dude. That's some good ass world building right there.
Good.
What would be a greater shame to a person than saying you are no longer, we do not even see you as an elf anymore. You are like humans. You're like cattle, livestock
backhand,
that we would brand.
Backhand them.
Does that mean that they can't speak? Or at least the first generation of honorless cannot speak? Because that's what the magical brand does, is it takes away your voice.
I'm not sure. So basically at this point, maybe at the beginning it was like that, but I think at this point maybe they've stopped doing the magical branding, and just when they exile someone, they just do a regular brand. And it's like a cultural thing rather than like a punishment thing. That's what I think. It's like you might have like heard legends of how the honorless can't speak,
but yeah, like, I like that better. Really, yeah, that is something that historically was actually happening. It was true, the first generation, but like maybe it was kind of expensive to invest
a lot of
magical
dust.
Brands. In, yeah, a diamond dust or whatever. Like, you know, however you're enchanting that, it's expensive to do that for criminals, people who are, you're like, and we're literally pouring investment into these people not ever being a part of our society again. And also because it only lasts for that generation. You know, if they have kids, then like the kids aren't born branded. And so it's like, well, how do you keep track of that? Oh, shit. Okay, A, you definitely, yeah, definitely the brand becomes just a, like a non-magical one. But B, you would for sure have groups of elven, like, lords or of different honors that would be traveling around to visit the honorless to brand their children.
I think that maybe we have stories about that, but there might be, I think that there are honorless kids who get like tattoos of the brand.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a thing that they turn it into their own. And yeah, like at some point, because what I'm imagining here is this is not something that lasts forever, and it is definitely not something that's happening during the height of Padasadi, because at that point, the Marian Dominion has so sunsetted and is in twilight now that like they are effectively non-existent. You know, they don't have the power or resources to do that kind of thing anymore. Yeah. There might be like one or two Quixote-esque figures who think that this is their, you know, grand duty of their family to continue to brand these people as criminals. The whole, you know, sins of the father visited to the seventh generation kind of thing or whatever. But yeah, no, there's definitely, this is something I'm imagining is in the history of the Marian Dominion more than it is in the present, because yeah, they don't have the resources to do that.
Yeah, and I think as we get into like Avon Pentis, the honorless and the sea people probably just collapse into each other as one people.
Yeah, there's probably very little distinction between the two. Yeah. I think what it might become is that the honorless, they and the sea people are both proud of their traditions, but that there's so much commingling between the two that it's more just like you kind of talk about your own family's heritage. Like, where did they come from? You know, were they Italian? Were they, you know, from North Africa? Were they from, you know, Venezuela or whatever? Like, it becomes a part of your family heritage, but more like a
Uruguay.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's more of a, you know, a facet of your identity than it is the entirety of your tradition. And like, we only behave a certain way. That makes a lot of sense to me. Plus, then it would also track that people would be more suspicious of the sea people, because it's like, not only do they fraternize, they like have kids with the honorless. They are able to provide, you know, I'm sure that one of the things is like they have exotic goods that are greatly desired. They might have, there could be a whole relationship to spices that the sea people have, where they are able to find and harvest or get. I mean, nobody knows the sea like them.
Except,
you know, these nomadic people.
Except for the ones under it.
True, but I mean, well, but they don't either, because the relationship of the merfolk to the surface is very, I mean, that's an entirely different environment. Like, they probably, we'll have to talk about that one day. Like, you know, the trading that happens among this, the merfolk and stuff. But in truth, like, how you sail on top of the sea is not going to be aided much by a merfolk sitting on the deck explaining things, you know, or the way that they get somewhere. I mean, they might use the currents of like currents that are, you know, 800 feet below sea level that aren't on the surface. And so like the currents or the wind patterns or whatever that you use are something that either the sea people or the honorless or the sonar peopleless, you know, would understand. They have a way of getting around the ocean that nobody else knows.
Frank.
Maybe they even know some of the secrets of the druids.
What?
You know, the relationships with the dragon islands or whatever.
All right, Frank.
Turtle islands.
I think we do one on ones. I think we're getting there. So this
is
my
one. We're getting there.
Are you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
I think that the honorless slash sea people, I think that they, in part, they do this, you know, anchoring in the whirlpool, and it's, you know, a wonderful magical land, sea. And they also like to anchor above, quote unquote anchor, above merfolk cities. And they do a lot of trading with them. And that, so they're often a proxy for merfolk, because merfolk like them. They're like, oh, you're the good ones that like live on the sea like we do. But, you know, you can't live under it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. I was going to say, yeah, like they would be far more friendly to, especially because the history of the merfolk, sort of the roots of their culture, is actually based in sort of an obstinate refusal to return to the land. You know, it was magical spells cast by powerful elves to remain initially basically on their plantations.
Yep.
like which is fucking nightmarish, and thousands of years of culture have grown between that, so I don't know how much of that still survives. I think, you know, on some level it's hard to quit stuff like that in the bedrock of a culture, as much as, you know, capitalism and imperialism is based on slavery, or our brand of capitalism and imperialism is predicated
America.
On slavery. Yes, American imperialism. Yeah, but anyways, but for the peoples, that would make so much sense, and it would also mean they would learn tricks about how to get across the ocean that other people just wouldn't know. B, they would have access to goods that, yeah, other people wouldn't. I really like that idea. That's a really fun interaction.
There you go.
And sometimes that, yeah, they're sitting over maybe they even have some sort of way of magically, I don't know. I mean, I guess you don't really need a diving bell if you can magically breathe underwater. You know, I'm sure that that's something that a lot of sea folk have access to. As it's one of the first spells that, you know, is made accessible to their people. You know, maybe it's like the kind of thing where it's, if you were going to pick a sea person, sea people or sea folk or whatever, as your, you know, ancestry, you would have a choice of a few different things. And one of those would be a breathe underwater. You know, you could cast it once per long rest kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Cool.
So what's your,
what's my one? Yeah. I didn't talk too much about the dragon turtle people or like the island, those islands. I would be really curious. I think that I would explore them more in the future, but I think that they would kind of have this, this mystics sort of relationship with the people of the, like, they're almost an omen, either a ill omen or a good omen, but like, you know, if you see one nearby, I could see a lot of people wanting to travel out to the island, like literally rowing out there in their fishing boats or whatever, or getting, you know, there would occasionally be, you know, portages allowed. Maybe it's the kind of thing where if it came by, first you'd have, you know, sort of the patrols reach out to them and be like, hey, are you receiving visitors? Or is there any trade you wish to do? And then, like, you know, whoever is the archdruid of the island is like saying, like, yes, like we are receiving, or no, we're not. And then based on that, you have people who are trying to get out there to, like, you know, will I marry to this person? You know, will I, you know, when will I die kind of shit, you know, or like trying, or just even just trying to commune with people who are spiritual in that way, specifically of trying to relate to the world. I would be curious to see what their, if they live in, do they have like villages, or, you know, are, you know, what is sort of the landscape of a quote unquote town look like on a dragon turtle's back or whatever.
Frank, bonus content.
Yeah, you got some BC?
Yeah, bonus content. Some BC up in the heows. You ready?
Yeah,
there's
what's
a crazy millionaire who has got the technology for the homesteaders, who has convinced a sea turtle to have a bubble on their back of air, and that they just run around and they build a town and like a crazy palace. And it's like a submarine plus an island.
Oh my God. It's a submarine island. Like, this is like the kind of shit that like Elon Musk would be so into. Yeah. He like, it gets him rock hard, is the idea of having like a traveling submerged city bubble.
Yep.
That's fucking great.
That'll
dude.
Have its own
also,
idea, I'm sure.
I would love the idea of it being like not very well designed, and like the magic that this bubble operates on isn't necessarily built to like move, and so there's occasional leakage around the edges, or like you'll just have a fish fall out of like the roof of the dome.
We call dinner.
So yeah, this millionaire just like hires people to like sweep the streets of fish sometimes, and like that's what his servants are allowed to eat or whatever, or just like that's where some of their food comes from. It's just like, well, hey, you know, you can have that fish. Oh my God, I love it. That's fucking great. Because we have talked about like manta rays, and if you had merfolk that sort of were hitching onto giant manta rays too.
Yep.
Or other similar creatures. Oh, that's fun. All right, well, I think that is it for this week. Thanks for letting us be your escape. Hopefully we won't have to escape for too much longer. That's definitely a lie. But we'll just, because the year is 2021 and every year is going to be the worst year ever from now on. But if you forgot your worries for a time and you want to make others forgetful, we are on every podcasting service known to humankind. So don't be greedy. Share us with your friends.
Did we discuss something that was confusing as hell? Of course we did. We talked about Seeple. Chances are there's some context in the podcast description, so you can go there. You can also explore the subreddit or reach us at the Lore Keepers on Twitter or email us at lorekeeperspodcast@gmail.com for questions or things you'd like to hear in future episodes.
Thanks, as always, to Josh Silker for his composition of Land of Heroes, Lore Keepers theme. And thanks to Sam Wade for the incredible album art. You can find her and her work at By Sam Wade on Instagram.
Until next time, Frank, there are always more.
Wow.
Nope, nothing's coming.
Oh my God, dude. Oh. See to people. People to see.
More
Romani to honor lists. More fucking, I don't know, dude. Yeah, there's more space, more fantasy racism is really what it is. More fantasy racism, more fantasy classism.
I can't get enough of it, Frank. It gets me just as hard as Elon Musk.
God. All right, we gotta go. I gotta go, man. I'm out of here. All right, bye, everyone.
Bye.
That was manic, dude. My time that is was hiding just behind my Discord window.
Okay.
Of course, I couldn't see it. How you doing?
I'm doing well. A lot of great.
Still playing? You still need, you finishing up a game right now?
Oh no, I finished.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to get into another game, but I had a tickling in my my bollocks, and I'm like, I think Frank's in a coma.
It feels like a Frank hand is running along the underside of my taint.
There you go.
A phantom Frankly hand.
Frankly. Yep.
Oh, dude, yeah, apologies, I was up kind of late. My sleep looks weird these days. We have to typically get up pretty early to feed the cats because I get up at like 5 every other day. And then during the weekends, it's kind of got to be me because otherwise Rachel like ruins her sleep schedule. She deals with a lot of insomnia. So it's like, yeah. Anyways, got up, fed the cats, laid down on the couch, slept for another like hour and a half. Responded to text from my boss. Yeah, we were gonna potentially have a conversation this morning really early. It's weird times right now. And then I like came back into the bedroom to finish off my sleep. So yeah, it was weird. I think I'm well rested. It's hard to say. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I got, you know, like 6 hours, 40 minutes, which is pretty decent.
I mean, yeah, that's what my sleep normally looks like, and I really try and do better than that on the weekends, because otherwise, I mean, because I didn't sleep on Thursday to Friday.
There shouldn't be days where you don't sleep.
No, I know. I had a project coming in that I just. Again, things are weird right now. And so I basically just needed to keep working on it. And anyways, yeah, so I didn't get any sleep on Thursday night. And then that affected Friday because, you know, I was like, well, if I can sleep on the weekend, I think I woke up at around noon on Saturday. So, yeah. But, yeah, no, I don't know. I think I'm okay now.
It's good.
Yeah. Sorry. I guess my brain's just catching up. But anyways, yeah, like when I texted you, I was still lying in bed. I was like, ah, shit. Because I was like, I set my timer for 9:30, my alarm for 9:30, and then just didn't get up in time.
Ooh, okay. How many weeks of school do you have left, by the way?
It's just past halfway. So maybe like 5.
Halfway, as in. Wait, so when did you start school? Beginning of February?
Mid to late January.
Okay, I feel like 5 was a couple of weeks ago then. Because it's like 2 weeks of January, 4 weeks of February, 2 weeks of March. I think we might be, I mean, I think next week is the end of March.
Yeah, but there's like 15 weeks. Was that 15 weeks?
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out in April, like 17th. Okay. No, like April 20th.
Yeah, that doesn't sound particularly like that sounds like what a lot of people, I don't know, that doesn't sound out of the ordinary. Yeah, no, just because Rachel's school feels like it's barreling along and not like it's going to end soon. You know, it feels like it's not sticking around for long. So I wasn't sure if you had kind of a similar feeling.
Things feel weird because there wasn't a spring break.
Right. Yeah. Same for her. Definitely makes it seem like things will end much sooner.
But they won't. Yeah.
Well, I'm really yawny.
You gotta slap that out of you.
Yeah. Dude, you should really join RuneScape.
Yeah?
I think that Lily and I might be creating like a little guild.
Like a some sort of clan?
Mm-hmm. Or I think they're called clans. It might be clans, not guilds. It's fun. And it's free. And it's a friend night thing.
Yeah, maybe this Tuesday. Maybe this Tuesday will be the Tuesday when I return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you just been busy or just need the time to yourself? Or
a little bit of calm, a little bit of calm. It's just Tuesdays this semester haven't been super easy for me because Tuesdays, because Frank, I don't do anything Tuesdays, but I do things Wednesday. And so I prepare for the things I do Wednesday Tuesday. And so that generally happens. And so, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, we really should have communicated this back and forth, but like that's something kind of the whole point of figuring out what works for friend night is that like what works for people's schedules. If you would have preferred not to have it on Tuesdays, like we should find potentially a different night that does work.
I mean, the semester's almost over, so it doesn't really matter at this point.
It's only halfway over.
Apparently, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I said halfway as well. I didn't say halfway.
The way that, okay, well, I mean, yeah, the way that you indicated, it sounded like you had plenty of time left in the school year.
So. I do. You know, I have another month, basically, 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's long enough where we would like figure something out for another month, and then I don't know. I could set it on a doodle or something. See what time works for everybody.
Give me a couple weeks to see if I can make Tuesdays.
All right. Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be something that's relaxing and, you know, nice, not like something that becomes like this obligation if I have to do this.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, one other thing. I've been thinking, I don't know when, but we should play some Android Netrunner.
All right.
Do you know that game?
I've heard of Netrunner. I don't know about Android Netrunner.
It's a card game. It's a asymmetric competitive card game, I think is technically its thing. Basically the way that it works is like you have one person who is the netrunner and the other person plays a corporation, and the netrunner is doing like runs as in, you know, trying to hack the code of the other person. And I don't know. There's some really cool things about the way that the game is built. But the one of the best things is the fact that all of the cards that you, when you buy a data pack, they're like the, you know, the sort of the expansions or whatever, you get one or like you get all of the cards that you need. So it's not, it doesn't have the same sort of mythic rare kind of, you know, having to purchase the right cards thing. Unfortunately, like it didn't get enough. It like Fantasy Flight decided to not renew it after they acquired the license a few years ago, but it still has a fan, like they're creating like custom fan created cards and like packs and stuff and having their own sort of standard rotation that has kept the community alive, which is really cool. But even without that, like I got a set of the cards from the core set, and then I think I have a couple of data packs from a friend who no longer played it. It's really cool, dude. It's I don't know, there's a really interesting action economy where you get either three or four actions a turn, three if you're a corp and four if you're a runner. Corps always start first, and like your actions, like drawing a card for a net runner is a click, which is what an action is called. But for a corp, they do it automatically. So in other words, there's like more versatility with what like the net runner is able to do than the corp. I don't know. It's very cool. And I thought it'd be fun to play it with you, especially because I've really been fiending for it. And Rachel is just usually not down for playing Netrunner. So.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds interesting. I like the asymmetric stuff. Mm-hmm. I apparently like card games.
Well, that was why I was like, hey, we should play this. Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. I've had a lot of fun with it, and it would be, I think there's a website that does you know how Magic has that one website where you can basically play Magic, it just doesn't technically have all the rules or whatever. Like, you know, it's not that the rules are programmed in, but it's like a free version of online Magic. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm not aware.
Okay. It's like a fan created thing where you literally just like have the images loaded and stuff. I tried to create a battle box for it, but it did not handle that well. Because it was, that's another thing I'd play with you sometime soon again as well. I don't know what you're up to today, but I might have some time.
I have a lot of grading to do. I can let you know.
Okay. Well, either way, it'd be fun to slam a game in there. Yeah, anyways, it's fun. You should play it. And that's all there is to it.
All right.
What's going on in your brain?
It's too much, Frank. I don't know if I can handle it.
What? What's up?
I had an idea.
What's your idea?
It's just
ripping off. Or would you rather raw dog it?
It's just ripping off fucking Willy Wonka.
Yeah, okay.
Imagine Willy Wonka.
Except, wait, are you talking about Oompa Loompas?
No, because that's weird. Okay, good. Racist.
Oh, there's nothing weird about the racism there.
I mean, what's weird is they're like little people. And they're like, yeah, orange.
It's shitty. I mean, I think that's literally just supposed to be, hey, they're pygmies, but it's like quaint post-imperial, like Banana Republics. It's like Roald Dahl wanted like a quaint, like, oh, isn't it funny how they're pygmy people? And they're a completely free workforce. They love it. They love candy. They love chocolate. And it's you know, they're happy to do all of the work and live in my factory and never leave.
Exactly.
What the fuck, man? God, childhood is fucked, man. Okay, what was your version? What were you thinking?
The factory is Padasari. The Willy Wonka is Thog. I don't like it, but that's what I guess happened.
I guess I could see it kind of happening. I feel like Thog is less of a, like, manipulator and more of a sort of opportunist. In, like, I don't know. At least the way that I like the, it's a fun idea, and I think we should do something with that. That would be fun to do eventually, even if it's not with this island, but like somewhere in the world.
Write down Willy Wonka without the racism.
Future Frank, write down Willy Wonka without the racism. Not possible. No, it is actually possible. but no. No, you're just making me think about Thog's personality. And the vibes that he gives me at this point, at least the way that we've kind of talked about him, is like a figure who is interested in watching the machinations of sort of history or at the present become history as like unfold in front of him and plucking the things he needs out of the machine as it produces them. Less so like I will take the machine and force it to create the things that I want, especially because we've kind of talked about him sort of having this long far off goal that he's working towards, but it has more to do with observing the natural sort of production of the Avums as they unfold. So yeah, he seems less like the kind of person who would take those into his own hands and force them to happen. You know, that's just from my read of him. But who knows? Maybe he becomes a villain. I don't know. How do you feel about wandering peoples? I mean, I think that could be a really fun, like, who visits Padasari? Like, what's common for them? Do we have sort of a, not wayfinders, what are the, are they just called the sea folk? The Athan Mier, is that what it is?
Something
from like Wheel of Time. You know who I'm talking about, though, right? Like the people who never set foot off of a ship.
Yeah.
Or never who never like reside anywhere off of a ship. They're people like live on their ships. Because we did actually talk about, I think it was the Honorless, right? You know, we mentioned the Honorless, and yes. So I don't know. How do you feel about that?
We could do that, yep. Like just big flotillas.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Turtle Islands.
Yep, Turtle Islands.
Okay, cool. This is an even number, so I think that's you.